The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
Before we begin Simen Kuf Aleph, the laws of preparing from the first day of Yom Tov to the second, we need an introduction to the concept of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. Today, when we want to know when a month begins, we simply look at the calendar. And this calendar system was set up close to 2,000 years ago. But this is not the ideal system that the Torah prescribes. The Torah says that lechatchila, we should be mekadesh the chodesh al pi re'iya, which means that we would be required to have witnesses come to the Beis Din, to the court in Yerushalayim, and declare that they saw the new moon, and then the Beis Din would declare that the new month has begun. Remember that a Jewish month can be either 29 days or 30 days. At that point, Beis Din would inform all of the Jewish communities throughout the world, and this way everyone would know when Yom Tov is. Now, this was long before the days of telephone or email, and the most efficient way of informing the other communities about when Rosh Chodesh is was they had a system of torches which would be used as a code on top of the mountains, and when people would see the torches from the next Jewish community, they would know when Rosh Chodesh is, and then they would light torches themselves in order that the next community, which is even further away from Yerushalayim, could also know when Rosh Chodesh is and when the upcoming Yom Tovim are. Now, all of this worked for a while, until there were counterfeit torches that were set up in order to confuse the Jewish communities. And at that point, the court had to find a new system to set out the word to others when Rosh Chodesh is. So the only viable solution that they could come up with is to send messengers. Now, it takes a long time for a messenger to go out to different communities. It could take weeks, depending on how far away the community is. And therefore, when it was time for Pesach or Shavuos or Sukkos, many communities still did not know whether the previous month had 29 days or 30 days. And consequently, they would not know which is the exact starting day of Yom Tov. Because they had no choice, they were required to keep 2 days of Yom Tov for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and they were keeping it out of a doubt. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, the messengers generally had no problem getting there in time, and therefore they would not need to keep 2 days Yom Tov, they only would observe 1 day of Yom Tov. After a while, the witness system was no longer in use, and there was a formal calendar set up so that the Jewish communities would know when Rosh Chodesh is. Now, at this point, once the calendar is known, there's no longer a need to keep 2 days Yom Tov. Except Chazal were concerned that in the future, when we go back to having the witness system set up, we would again need 2 days Yom Tov, and people would not be ready for it. So as a result of that, they instituted that the Jewish communities that were outside of Eretz Yisrael should continue the practice that they had maintained, which was to have 2 days Yom Tov. While the Jewish communities that were in Eretz Yisrael, they could also maintain their original practice, which was to only have 1 day of Yom Tov. Now, Rosh Hashanah is different, because Rosh Hashanah, there are 2 days observed even within Eretz Yisrael. Because once the witnesses come in to say that they saw the new moon, it's already Yom Tov. So consequently, on Rosh Hashanah, there'll never be time to send out messengers across the country, and therefore, even within Eretz Yisrael, there would always be 2 days of Yom Tov observed for Rosh Hashanah. Now, the Chassam Sofer writes that in the future, when Mashiach comes, Eretz Yisrael will expand, and instead of having 2 days of Yom Tov, instead of having a Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, he claims that there'll be something else called Yom Tov Sheni Shel Geula. And therefore, even within Eretz Yisrael, they'll be keeping 2 days of Yom Tov. Now, Chazal were always concerned that people would not take the second day of Yom Tov seriously. And therefore, in order that the second day of Yom Tov should not be denigrated, they often added extra chumras to it. But just to appreciate how serious Yom Tov Sheni is, remember that on the last day of Yom Tov, in Chutz Laretz, Min HaTorah, it should really be considered a weekday. And therefore, Min HaTorah, you should be required to wear tefillin in that day. But Chazal uprooted the mitzvah of tefillin on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios because they felt that keeping Yom Tov Sheni was so important. We are now learning the laws of hachana, of preparation, from Yom Tov to after Yom Tov. We're in Simin Kuf Aleph in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He begins with Sif Aleph. Kol hamelochos hamutaros la'asosan b'Yom Tov, ze dafka litzorach oso hayom. All of those melochos which are normally permitted to perform on Yom Tov, they may only be done for the purpose of benefiting of it on that day. Aval lahachin miyom tov rishon liyom sheni, but to prepare from the first day of Yom Tov to the second day. Afilo b'Rosh Hashanah, even on Rosh Hashanah, where we say that halachically it's considered like one long day. Umikoshrein liyom chol, and all the more so to prepare from Yom Tov to a non-Yom Tov day, usher, this would be forbidden. In other words, the Torah only allows us to cook and do certain other malachas on Yom Tov if we are going to use the product on Yom Tov itself. But if it's not for Yom Tov, or it's not for that day of Yom Tov, it is usher for us to do. Ach im hutzarech levasho b'shvu hayom. However, let's say he needs to cook for today. And by the way, when we talk about needing here, it doesn't mean that literally he needs to cook for today. But he will get benefit from being able to cook for today on Yom Tov. Mutar lo lekachas kedera yoser gedola. He's allowed to take a pot which is even larger. Ulamalos osa basar ukiyotzeba, and to fill it up with meat and the like. Afalpi she'eino tzarach hayom kolkach, even though it's not really all needed for that day. So again, if it's Yom Tov and you want to cook on Yom Tov for today, you could get an extra large pot and fill it up, even though you know that you will not be able to consume all of it on that day of Yom Tov. V'yosa gam l'layla olamocha, and whatever he leaves over could be either for the night or for the next day. V'davka b'tavsho b'kedera mutter. This is only permissible if you have a cooked dish in a pot, sort of like a stew. Mivnesha hatavsho mut'am yoser kishe misvaso harber basar b'yachad. Because the cooked dish, like cholent for example, it will become more tasty if there's more meat in the pot. And therefore, you are benefiting from having an overfilled pot on this day of Yom Tov itself. But there's one qualification. Ubilvad shelo yomer bipeh, as long as he does not say with his mouth explicitly, shehamosa yiyeh letzorach halayla o letzorach hamachar. He does not say that whatever's left over will be for the night or for the next day. Ela yivasho stam, but he could cook without saying anything, and that would be permissible. But again, this is only for a cooked dish. Avo bishar mechalim, with other types of foods where they're not being cooked together in a pot, so that all of the food benefits from having more of it there. Asur lahosif bedavar, you're not allowed to add anything. Sheyesh tzas tircha b'mashehu mosif, because it's considered excessive effort with what he's adding. So the issue here doesn't sound so much like it is a problem of hachana, of preparation, but sounds like he would be engaging in too much work, too much effort on Yom Tif, when it's not for a Yom Tif use. So until now, we were discussing melacha on Yom Tif for either the second day Yom Tif or for a weekday. But in the next sif, we will discuss even things which are not melachas would also be asur if it's not for that day of Yom Tif. So he says in Sif Beis, afilu davar she'eino melacha, even something that does not involve melacha at all, kigon lahavi mayim, for example, to bring water, or afilo yain lekiddush or lahavdala, or wine for the purpose of kiddush and avdala, asur lahachin, it would be forbidden to prepare it on the first day of Yom Tif for the second. This is despite the fact that it's a mitzvah. It doesn't make a difference. Even for a mitzvah, you can't prepare on the one day of Yom Tif for the second. Now, in the Mishnah Berurah, he points out that on Matzah Yom Tif of the first day, meaning now it's the second night of Yom Tif, once it is already Tzeisek HaChavim, it would be mutter to bring wine or grape juice for the purpose of Kiddush, even though he has not yet davened Ma'ariv, because Ma'ariv will not be an obstacle to preparing for the next day. In other words, once it's already the second night, even if a person has not davened Ma'ariv, they still would be allowed to make preparations. In the Sefer Shmirah Shabbos Kelchasam, he wonders if the same thing would be true if that night is not Yom Tif at all, if it's a regular week, if it's a regular, let's say, Motzei Shabbos. So, can a person on Motzei Shabbos, once Tzeisek HaChavim has already come, but he has not yet davened Ma'ariv, would there not be a problem of Hachana? He leaves this unresolved. He gives the example of Motzei Shabbos, but of course the same thing would apply to Motzei Yom Tif. So again, so it would be usur on Yom Tif to bring wine for Matzah Yom Tif. Now, the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch gave the example if it's for Kiddush or for Avdala. But let's say someone brings wine to the Beis Medrash in order to drink from it for Shalosh Shudas, as well as to make Avdala. Since it's for the two things combined, then the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says that that would be permissible. The Kitzah goes on and says, V'chein, Osir lahamid es haneros b'menorah, o l'sakein es apsilos v'ha'ashashiyos b'yom tif rishon l'tzorach alayla. It is similarly forbidden to set up the neros in the menorah, or to set up wicks, or the oil lamps, B'Yom Tif Rishon L'Tzarech HaLayla, on the first day of Yom Tif, for the purpose of the night. Elehem Hu Tzarech L'Shtamish Behem Gam Kodem HaLayla, unless he's intending to make use of them also before the night. O L'Chvod Beis HaKnesses, or it will be for the honor of the Shul. But otherwise, even though it's technically something which is mutter during Yom Tif, it's only permissible if it is done for the purpose of Yom Tov itself and not for the purpose of Matzah Yom Tov.
Halacha Gimel. Goy shehevi bi Yom Tov rishon dogim o peros. If on the first day of Yom Tov a goy brings either fish or fruit, sheyesh lachosh shema nitzodu hayom, that we have to be concerned
that maybe if it was fish, they were trapped today. O shenitlashu hayom, or in the case of fruit, that it was taken off the tree today. So these are melachas min haTorah. O huvel michutz l'tchum, or if it was brought from outside of the tchum, which might only be in Issa d'Rabbanan, asurim hayom betiltu. So then there would be usur today on Yom Tov to move it, because they're muksa. Ula erev mutarim. But in the evening, there'll be mutar, meaning on the second night of Yom Tov, they would be permissible. Which means to say, she'im hagoy makiro, that if the non-Jew recognizes him and trusts him, v'nosnim lo belo ketzitza asdamim, and he gives him the product without specifying a particular price, so there's no business transaction occurring on Yom Tov, mutar lekachdam ula achlam, it would be permissible to take it and eat it. Chutz mi Yom Tov she Rosh Hashanah, with the exception of the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, where we say that both days of Rosh Hashanah have the status of being one day, she'afilu huvu biyom rishon asurim gam biyom sheni, because in Rosh Hashanah, if the guy brought it on the first day in a situation where we are concerned that malacha was done, or that an Isser Shabbos was done, so then it would be forbidden even on the second day. Now, what is the reason that we make all of these restrictions? Of course, a goy is not bound by the laws of Yom Tov, but Chazal were concerned that if we allow ourselves to benefit from the malacha that is being done by a goy, then some people would go ahead and instruct the goy to do malacha for us in Yom Tov. So in order to prevent this, they said that even if we do not instruct them to do malacha, any malachas that they did, it is forbidden for us to benefit from them on Yom Tov. Halacha Gimel was really discussing a case where the goy did not bring it specifically for the Jew. In Halacha Daled, we're talking about a case where it was brought specifically for the Jew. He says, Im heviyim hagoy b'shvil Yisrael l'doron olamachram lo, if the goy brought the items as a present or to sell it specifically to the Jew, yesh la'asar gam b'yom tov sheni, in this case, even in Yom Tov sheni, it would be forbidden. V'ach imchol Yom Tov b'yom hei b'yom vav, in the event that Yom Tov fell out on Thursday and Friday, v'hevi b'yom hei, and he brought it on Thursday, im yesh tzorech gadol, if there is a great need, mutar l'taltalon b'yom vav, ulevash l'chvod Shabbos, it'll be mutar to move it on Thursday and to cook it for the sake of Shabbos, because otherwise he won't be to use it on Shabbos. U'b'yom tiv shechor Rosh Hashanah gam zos asur. And if we're just talking about where Rosh Hashanah falls out on Thursday and Friday, then even this would be asur, meaning you would not even be allowed to cook it for Shabbos. Halacha hei, chalav shechalavoy goy biyom rishon, milk that was milked by a non-Jew on the first day of Yom Tov, v'Yisrael ro'ehu, and it was observed by a Jew. Now the reason why it must be observed by a Jew is because otherwise it would be what's called chalav akum, and the rule is that any milk that was milked not in the presence of a Jew is forbidden for Jews to drink, because Chazal were concerned that maybe the goy would mix non-kosher milk into the milk. So in this case, a Jew did observe him milk it. So the halacha is that it is usur on that day, meaning the first day of Yom Tov, to drink the milk. However, mutar b'yom sheni, it is mutar to drink it on the second day. Now this requires a little bit of explanation. Because other than the issue of the fact that melacha is being done with the milk, there's a separate concern, and that is a newly created substance, something that just came into being on Yom Tov, is forbidden to be moved or consumed on Yom Tov. This is not just in a situation where the guy did it, it's even something which happened by itself. So, for example, if a chicken laid an egg on Yom Tov, so, or on Shabbos, so then that egg would be forbidden to be moved on Yom Tov. However, on the second day of Yom Tov, it would be permissible, and the logic is that both in the case of the milk and in the case of the egg, since originally the 2 days of Yom Tov were established because there was a doubt which day was the real Yom Tov, so therefore in those times, if there was a doubt whether the first day or the second day is the authentic Yom Tov, so if you'd have a newly created item on the first day, so if the second day is Yom Tov and the first day is not, so then it wasn't created on Yom Tov. On the other hand, if the first day is Yom Tov and the second day is not, so then it should only be forbidden on the first day, but then on the second day it would still be permissible. So whichever way you want to look at it, on the second day, the fresh milk would be permissible. So then the Kitzur goes on and says, V'im chalavo b'shabbos, v'yom rishon hu yom tif. Let's say the cow was milked on Shabbos, and then Sunday is yom tif. Aser b'yom rishon, then it would be forbidden on Sunday. And here the reason is, because since at the onset of Yom Tov, it was Muktzah, so we say it remains Muktzah for the entire Yom Tov. Well, at least the entire first day of Yom Tov. He then proceeds and says, U'berosh Hashanah, im chalavo b'yom rishon she Yom Tov. Let's say Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday, so the rule is, if the cow was milked on Thursday by a guy, Aser gam b'yom sheni, it would even be forbidden on the second day, which is Friday, v'gam b'shabbos ha-samach lo, as well as the Shabbos which follows. Why? Rosh Hashanah is different, because Rosh Hashanah doesn't follow the same rules of other two-day Yom Tovs. On Rosh Hashanah, we view the second day to be an extension of the first day. And consequently, anything that's usher on the first day of Rosh Hashanah would be usher on the second, and in this case, even usher on Shabbos that follows. Now, the Mishnah Berurah discusses a case in terms of the egg when we don't know whether it was laid on the first day of Yom Tov or on the second day of Yom Tov. And now, l'chora, the halacha should be the same by milk as well, if we don't know whether the cow was milked on the first day of Yom Tov or the second. And the Mishnah Berurah says that you should be machmir not to consume it on Yom Tov Sheni, but in a situation where there would be a great loss, so then there's arguments to permit it. Of course, once again, we have to point out that this does not apply for the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Halacha Vav. Psilos shehidlik behen biyom tov rishon v'chavo. Wicks which were lit on the first day of Yom Tov and then the fire went out, even though there would be an argument to say that now you made the wicks more usable for the second night of Yom Tov, and in which case perhaps you should not be allowed to use it for Yom Tov Sheni. Nevertheless, the halacha is mutar lahadlik behen b'Yom Tov Sheni. You are allowed to light a Yom Tov Sheni, because the reason why you did it on the first day was because you wanted fire, not in order to prepare the wicks. Ach b'shnei yomim tovim sherosh Hashanah. However, on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, where we consider the second day to be an extension of the first day, and it is not an independent day of Yom Tov. Asur lahadlik b'yom tov sheni b'psila shekavsa b'yom rishon. It would be forbidden to light the wicks on the second day of Yom Tov, which were extinguished on the first day. B'afilo b'katzar sheni, and even to turn it over and light the second side. Umiko makam mutarin b'tiltil, is nevertheless mutter to move it. Lahasiron, to remove it, veloses chadashos, and to put new wicks there. They do not have the din of being muktza. V'chein b'yomtiv shalacha Shabbos, the same thing would apply when yomtiv is on Motzoi Shabbos.